Know that you are on a great stage where all heaven and earth are watching you.
Amen.
Fight like a knight so I can reward you. Do not be unduly fearful because you are not alone. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ to St. Faustina in her diary, paragraph 1760. Terry, I'm on duty. What about you?
Yeah, see, I'm on duty, brother, and I'm praying that Father Altman is going to join us today. If we don't have any technical difficulties, our engineer's working on that, folks. Also, we're going to be talking not only about Father Altman, but we're going to have Michael Voris coming on to talk to us about his news reports every day, Monday through Friday. That'll be a good input. And also, Jesse, I just want to pray for those folks in Cuba who are suffering under communist rule. After 60 years, the people are just really, really fed up with it. They can't eat. They're not getting food. I think we do have Father Altman on, so he's coming on. That's good news. I just see that. So bottom line is, today's show, we're going to try and help you follow what is not the easy road, but the hard road. And that is a road of carrying the cross. I have a quote from Fulton Sheen about Karl Marx, neat timingly, regarding his own life and why we need to pray for our country to continue to fight communism. That's just what we need to be doing.
But Terry, here's a quote from Joseph Stalin.
Yeah.
He said this about America.
Yeah.
America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold. It's patriotism, its morality, and its spiritual life.
Yep.
If we can undermine these three areas,
he's right,
America will collapse from within. Joseph Stalin.
Well, one of our founders, Adam, said the same thing. This experiment won't work without a religious people. So America won't work without our faith. Okay, well, Jess, before we do any of that, I want to ask you to
soul food.
Get some soul food in our stomachs and
That's
in our
right.
minds and souls.
Amen. By the way, just St. John Chrysostom says that when the devil sees you opening up a Bible and reading it,
I love it.
St. John Chrysostom, Archbishop of Constantinople, Doctor of the Church, Golden Mouth, that was he was called for the first 1,000 years.
Yep.
He says the devil looks at that person and flees their presence.
I love
it. He cannot be in the presence of somebody reading the Word of God.
That makes sense.
So just remember, as you open up your Bible, demons are saying, uh-oh, as you start reading it and digesting the words into your soul, the demons say, we're out of here. This is painful.
You got it, Jesse. I think I know I have a hear in my other ear. Father Altman is on, so after this segment, we'll put him right back on. Jesse, I want to bring this. Let's go ahead and read that the gospel. It's a short one, but
Matthew 11,
chapter 11, verse 25 to 27.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father. Such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So let's look at what happened here. First of all, remember that we have Jesus Christ talking about the great ministry of John the Baptist. That was the context of this of chapter 11 in Matthew. And he's juxtaposing the great ministry of John the Baptist with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, calling them basically a bunch of phonies and hypocrites.
Yep.
And then what we also see here, after he also upbraids the cities that should have believed in him because they saw his miracles, and he says that their judgment is going to be worse. Chorazin and Bethsaida, their judgment will be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah because they witnessed the miracles of Christ and they remained in unbelief. So now we move to Jesus is talking to the disciples. That's the context. And he's giving them a thanksgiving prayer. That's one of the ways we're supposed to be praying. Not always, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Oh, God, I want this, I want that, I want that. One of the most immature ways of praying is just thanking God. And so the Lord teaches the apostles to thank God. And not only that, He also knows about those towns that have rejected him. But there's a remnant of people, including the disciples, who trust Jesus with the simplicity of infants, with the simplicity of childlike faith. And that's who he's talking to here. And then he also describes to us the intimacy that he wants with us. And he gives us the example. Basically, he says the intimacy between the Father and the Son, it points to their openness or their oneness within the Blessed Trinity. And they want to share that divine knowledge and that divine nature with us as well. Who can understand this, people? Terry? Mm. Only people of humility, simplicity, piety. If you go to Harvard, it doesn't mean you're going to understand this stuff. Or Yale or Duke. It doesn't mean you're going to understand this stuff. You're probably going to act like a Pharisee or a Sadducee. It's to the simple, to the people that have childlike faith, God will reveal himself to them. And that's why, by the way, we see a mess in our country. Because those people with all these, they're impressed with all their degrees behind their name that run this country. Terry, they don't understand the first thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ because they're so full of themselves and so full of this unbelieving Marxist world.
Well, I say it this way, Jess. It's the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. That's who they're worshiping. And you can't worship the true God when you're worshiping yourself. All right, Jess, let's bring the smartest guy into the room. Oh, Sheena Head. This is appropriate with what's happening in Cuba, all the Marxists there. This is what Bishop Sheen quotes. Marx had two sources of income. He's talking about Karl Marx. One briefly came from his service as a foreign correspondent for the New York Tribune. The other source of his income was from his rich friend Friedrich Engels, the son of a merchant in Manchester. Now, it's easy to understand how a man who never earned his own living but survived through the aid of others should so readily develop a system of economics based on the deposition of others. Well, that says it all about communism. Yeah, it's great for me, but fooey to you. And they make it sound like communism is going to be good for the culture. And can you please show me one country where people have freedom that is under communism who are flourishing? None. They've all been fell apart. And so I think it's appropriate for us to pray for those folks in Cuba right now, Jesse, who are fighting a communist regime.
Yeah, Terry, communism works only for those that are in power, not for the rest of the people. Communism is known as an oligarchy. And what does that mean? That's a small group of people that controls a country, and the ruling oligarchy generally are military men around the president. That's communism. So the few at the top, they get all the perks, but the rest of the people have their jackboot on their neck.
Yep, that's pretty much it. And Jess, I would like to pray. I've been praying for these people in Cuba. I feel so bad. There's 11 million people in Cuba, and they're suffering greatly under communism for 60 years. I'd love to see Cuba the 51st state of the United States. That's my take. And I'm sure a lot of those people who are running around carrying flags would also. So let's pray a Hail Mary for them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesse, when we come back from the break, Father Altman's going to be with us. I said this the other day that he's a John the Baptist, and what do I see on LifeSite News? Our good friend, Father Richard Heilman, defending Father Altman, saying that St. John the Baptist, our Lord, stood up to the hierarchy of their time. He also pointed out, and we'll talk about this when we come back, St. Peter Damian also is known for what he did to the hierarchy, pointing out the, are you ready, the sodomy that was going along in the clergy of the Book of Gomorrah. So we've had saints have to point out in the past the errors of people in our church, and they've never, it's never dealt well. They get their head cut off.
Basically, St. Thomas More, St. John Fisher.
Yeah, they're all there. And here's, we're
Miguel
all...
Miguel Pro.
And we're all called to martyrdom. We are, Jesse. Some way, it could be a dry martyrdom, could be a real you know, a martyrdom of cutting our heads off. We don't know, but we have to stand up for the truth. And Father Altman is being nailed for saying, you know what? Our shepherds have let us down. They closed our churches. They won't give us the sacraments. And we have a priest who says, wait, that's not right. And we're saying, Father, thank you. We appreciate you speaking up for us. That's a true shepherd. And so when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to him about his situation with his faculties being suspended. What can we do to help Father Altman? And I'm not just Father Altman. I got 50 priest friends over the last 25 years that had the same thing happen to them. And they're friends of mine today where they can't say a public mass because they stood up for the truth of the gospel. Well, God bless them. But you know what, folks? We should be supporting them with our prayers and also financially also, I think. And I know many priests are in that situation. Now, Father Altman just jumped into the water and he's saying, look, let's find out from him personally what we can do to help. I know he could use our prayers. So when we come back, we'll have Father James Altman give us an update on what's happening with his faculties and also his own personal life, because I think he has peace from what I've read in interviews. This is a man who's like, hey, bring it on. And that's courage, Jess. That takes courage.
And that's the peace of Christ.
It comes from Christ. But we'll be right back after a quick break, family. Stay with us. Father James Altman will be here to inspire us to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Most precious blood of Jesus, come over us. We got Father James Altman. We've been anticipating Father James Altman. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
It's good to be here.
Good, Father.
Very good to be here.
Thank you.
I was just arranging things in the back there because I know the background's important.
Yeah.
So I tried to get some good stuff so you could see it.
Good. Thank you.
Father, give us an update. What's going on in the life of Father James Altman so that we can marshal the troops to
pray
more prayer
you.
And more activity? Give us an assessment of where you're at right now and maybe some action items.
Well, you know, it's only been since Wednesday? Today Wednesday?
Yes.
Tuesday.
Wednesday.
I can't even keep track. Well, I just got the letter. It was delivered FedEx on Thursday, so there hasn't been a lot of time to go forward and do some good planning. There's a lot going on, I guess, affect
you're
the transition.
You're working on a book also, aren't you?
Pardon?
You're working on a book also. You were...
Yes.
Father, let me just be direct with you, because that's the only way I can be.
Yeah, okay? I do best answering questions.
Yeah, well, here's my question. I mean, I've got many of my friends for years who have spoken out and held the line on the Catholic faith teachings, whether it was on modesty or abortion or on marriage.
Yeah.
And they've had their pastor say, look, you either obey me or you're done. And they say, well, I have to obey Christ before I have to obey you, bishop or pastor.
Yeah.
And they basically have been pushed aside. And you know what they're doing? They're praying their private masses.
Right.
And you know what's interesting also, Father? And I'm not being politically correct. I don't care.
Right.
They're saying the extraordinary form of the mass privately.
Yeah.
And what reason I bring all this up to you, because we have an environment right now. I just went to a Novus Ordo Latin mass this morning. A Monsignor said it.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday and Wednesday, we have a Latin Novus Ordo. He was a Vatican diplomat. And he said, you know, I can't say that in Rome right now. It's forbidden to say a Novus Ordo Latin Mass. Now, I don't want to take all your time, but I'm just trying to set the stage. We're living in some crazy times, man. We can't even say a Mass separate. You have to have concelebrated Masses in Rome. You can't go in on a tour. You got two priests. You want to say a Mass? Yeah, go ahead, Father John, Father Mike. No, you have to concelebrate. No two Masses. This is how mixed up we are right now. And so I set the stage for you to say, Father, you're like a John the Baptist, man. You're giving bad news out, because you know what you're doing? You're proclaiming the truth, and a lot of us in the church don't want to hear it. Is that a fair assessment, or am I exaggerating?
No. The difference between me and all these other hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of priests, some of whom you mentioned,
I know,
is that somehow I have a presence out there. I don't know how it all happened to begin with. It just happened.
Yeah.
Certainly, I didn't seek it. But what is happening to me now is what has happened to all these priests. And it's time we say enough is enough. Enough with these petty little tyrants. And we're done. Yep. Enough is enough. You know, we've got, I think, a national movement going now called Not One More Penny and defending the priests. Because see, what's happening to me, and the beauty of this is that not every mistake they make, and they've made many, every bitter, vindictive little tyrant thing that they're doing now is going to come back to haunt them, because now everybody is going to know what these little tyrants have done to their own priests. And I'm just the voice, and we're gathering storm, and they're going to rue the day that they acted like the petty tyrants they are. So that's, if you want to know in a nutshell, that's what's coming down the pike, and watch out, because we are done. The people are done. You know, here's the thing.
Tell me.
I don't cause division. I only talk about the division that exists. They cause the division. They cause the heresies. They cause the apostasy. They cause this God-forsaken, they have presided over the absolute ruination of the Holy Catholic Church, which is exemplified by irrefutable statistics that now 80% of Catholics roughly don't even go to Mass. They don't even care. They don't even think they have to. And 80% roughly, that's the latest Pew Research, no longer believe in the real presence. And if they believed in the real presence, they would have done something about it long ago. But they don't believe it, or they would have done something about it. Actions speak louder than words. I don't care how they parade about. But we're done with them. The faithful Catholics, listen, I heard a high-ranking prelate once say that there is a de facto schism in the church. I didn't cause it by anything I said. Right. I'm only talking about it.
Of course.
So we're done. The faithful Catholics are done. You're not taking away our sacred language of the Catholic Church. You're not taking away our devotional life. Yeah. You're not going to do it.
Yep. Thank you.
I see the church divided there's two issues I think that has caused the division, or the diabolical has caused it. Number one, the issue of abortion separates certainly patriots and people of people of goodwill in this country. But more than that, what divides the church right now is the doctrine of the real presence.
Amen.
I would have to say that there's a transubstantiation war in the church right now. That's where the church is divided. We have a lot of people that pay lip service to the real presence, but their actions betray the doctrine of the church. And then other people in the church, like yourself and other people, are saying, no, this is what the church has always taught for 2,000 millennia. Joe Biden can't receive Holy Communion based on this teaching. And in our church, that's the division right now. The division is over the real presence of Jesus Christ, or is it just a cookie? If it's just a cookie, go ahead and give it to Joe Biden.
Exactly.
And go ahead and give it to Nancy Pelosi. It's not a problem. But if this is God, then we're going to suffer the wrath of God if we are violating and participating in sacrilegious practices as Catholic bishops and priests, right?
Yep. And our silence is complicity.
Yeah.
We have known this throughout history. And some great names have said that exact same thing, including, what's that guy, that smart guy from Albert Einstein?
He talked about transubstantiation from a science position. Yep, it's on the internet.
He said silence is complicity.
Yep.
So listen, silence is complicity. And every shepherd of the church that doesn't speak up and speak out like we're doing, they are complicit in the destruction of the faith. And listen, we're coming. We're coming for him. And it's not even us, right? This isn't me speaking.
No.
This is Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
He said enough is enough.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Father Altman, Jesse and I have been saying something for years, okay? We have always said, read the party lines, the Democratic Party line, their platform. Read the Republican platform. And who's going to move the football closer to the touchdown or a first down? And we said, you can't be a Catholic and a Democrat. We've said that for years. And then you say it, and that's
you get
like,
in trouble.
Oh, you get in trouble. Yeah. Now, if we don't have faculties for them to take away for us, I get that. But, I mean, you're not saying anything that's not brain surgery. It's not brain surgery. Read the policy that they attest to, what they call the party platform. Who in the world can say anything different with a head on their shoulders and a Catholic mindset? How can you be a Catholic and vote for killing innocent life? It doesn't mix.
Yeah. Right. You can't. Period, the end. And any shepherd that's too gutless to stand up and say that, get out. Because you're not Catholic and you're leading the lambs astray.
Amen.
And so that goes, I don't care if you're wearing a red hat, Wilton Gregory, get out of the church because you are not Catholic. How dare you suggest to anybody that it's okay to give Joe Biden, commit sacrilege by committing, by giving Joe Biden Holy Communion? How dare you, Wilton Gregory? How dare you? Get out of the Catholic Church. I don't care who your supporters are. I don't care if they're wearing a red hat. I don't care if they're wearing a white hat. Get out, because you're not Catholic, and real Catholics have had it with you. I'm not the one that causes division by saying that. He's the one that causes division by saying what he said. I just talk about it.
Father Altman, you've also said something that we've been saying, and we kept our Catholic Church open, the one that's behind me, the Sacred Heart Chapel, throughout the so-called pandemic. People came to pray. They were crying before the Blessed Sacrament because they couldn't find Jesus anywhere else. We had confessions going on weekends when the diocese said you can't do it. So I'm being honest with you. Yeah, you want to record that? Bring it on, because the truth is what sets us free. So here's my point. You have called out the shepherds and saying that they were remiss. I mean, let me just point this out and give you, I want to give it back to you. Many people have died because of drug overdoses. There's all kinds of deaths from this closing of churches. I believe people are that the blood is on our bishops' hands for closing churches because people couldn't come and pray and receive the sacraments. Right.
Tell me. And the one job a bishop had to do was make sure we were in a state of sacramental grace and get to church, because that is the one thing we needed. And that is the one thing they stole from us. How dare they? Every shepherd who locked their churches and did not let people in, get out, because the unfaithful aren't coming back.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
What's the point? They didn't have to. Yep. They didn't have to be there during that fear-demic, this plandemic, this hoax of a
scam-demic.
It's a scam.
It's a big scam. They didn't think they had to come during it. Only the faithful Catholics are left going to be left standing. And we're done with them. Because they locked us out. They abandoned us in our time of need. Like, you've heard me say it so many times. If it was even a fraction as dangerous as they say it was, all the more reason why we should have stuck our necks out as priests, as bishops, as cardinals, and served our people unto death. Amen. That's our calling. And if they won't do it, get out. The people have had it. And they're the ones that are going to be, they are the remnant.
Yes.
And they have left you. It's like that one bishop said, that even the politicians know that these bishops are shepherds or are generals without an army. You know why? Because the unfaithful don't care. They're not coming back. But the faithful do care, and we're done with you. Well, you better get on your knees now, and you better apologize for abandoning us, or you're done. We're done with you. And I'm not causing division by saying it. I'm just pointing out the truth.
Amen.
They're done with you.
Jesse?
Father, follow the money. I think our mutual friends, Michael Hitchborn, Michael Voris, have done a lot of reporting on the fact that the U.S. bishops receive untold amounts of money, millions of dollars into their coffers.
Billions.
For the social justice, for their social justice programs.
Yeah.
As a result of this, in my opinion, this has bought their silence, and the U.S. bishops have just become, in my opinion, another branch of the Culture of Death Democrat Party. Or as Father Richard Newhouse once said, the U.S. bishops are the Democrat Party in robes. You agree with that?
Yeah. I don't want to say everyone, because there are some out there
understand. Like mine but is a good one.
Yeah, but the many... Okay, I don't know why people don't, why we just can't face the music and understand Jesus said many will choose the broad road to destruction. And that didn't mean just the laity. That meant the hierarchy, just as the many hierarchy in Jesus' day chose the broad road to destruction. There were precious few amongst that Sanhedrin. I think we know two of, like, and if there would have been more, we would have heard from them, Nicodemus and Gamaliel. Those are the only two that seem to stand up for seeking the truth, right? The rest of the 70, losers. Right. So why do we think it's any different in our day? Why? Well, it doesn't even make sense. But most people are so clueless and so unaware, and they don't care. It's like the Roman philosopher Juvenal said in the year 150. Most people they don't care what kind of government they have. They don't care what kind of shepherd they have, so long as they get their bread and circuses. So let me just go and punch the clock on Sunday and I'm good to go for eternal salvation. That is not the way it works. It's never the way. Well, here's a good way to think about it.
Tell us.
When you stand before Jesus, and he says, hey, let me take a look at your shoulder and see the bruises that you got when you carried your cross. Let me look at the scourge scars on your back. Let me see them. And if we don't have bruises and scars, we're not getting in, because we did not serve God in this world so we could be with him in the next. That's basic Baltimore Catechism, to know, love, and serve
Absolutely.
God.
Father Holman, we're going to be right back with the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back with Father James Altman, or Father John the Baptist. I mean, you can conflate the two names. Father, I get that you still, obviously, you have canonical proceedings, so we're not going to even go into that area. That's going to be between you and your canon lawyer. But some action items for the laity, Father. There's so many people. You have won the hearts of millions of Catholics around the world. They see what's being done right now is so unjust. This is such an abuse of power. Give us some action items for the laity that can help out your cause, because you are basically standing in the gap, to quote Ezekiel the prophet, for hundreds and hundreds of priests. Yeah. I mean, Terry, you know, many of
them
that have gone through what you went through, but they didn't have a voice. Back then, they didn't have the internet. They weren't podcasts.
Right.
And so they just basically exiled them, like Bishop.
All the good guys.
Yeah, all the good guys. So give us a couple of action items for the lay people that could help out the cause, not only your cause, but the cause of the church at large, from all this, from these petty tyrants and mitres going after good holy priest.
Yeah. You know what? Michael Boris and Church Militant called the monsters and mitres. And when you think of how they covered up the abuse and the people have had, you know, 20 years on, and they're still mitres that have been participated in the cover up or are complicit by their silence. And you still have people like Donald Wuerl having faculties, right? They're trying to take away my faculties, and they didn't take away the faculties of child molesters. Screwed in the head
are James bitches? Martin. People like James Martin continually.
Yeah, he still has faculties. Yeah. Are you kidding me? He's a heretic. He's an apostate with his. He is rat poison.
Yeah.
He glowed up. I understand. I don't pay attention to any of the news. I couldn't care less. But what the news I hear is from people texting me about what so-and-so said. They send me links. I don't have time to read them.
Yeah.
But I guess he was gloating over what he would consider to be the downfall. But remember, he who lasts best.
Remember that
phrase?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just the voice that's coming out of the woodwork, out of the blue, but standing up for all these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of priests that were sidelined. Until now, they were sidelined, and nobody knew except a little local parish, and so it wasn't national news. So the thing is, I'm aware that somebody has purchased 10,000 postcards, and they have like a picture of a whole bunch of us canceled priests on it.
Yes,
and as in big red letters, not one more penny. And they want to go on a national billboard campaign, including one outside, right very close, if not across the street from our own cathedral, set with that picture and that not one more penny. So that's the only thing they're ever going to understand. But because we're done. The faithful are done. They took away my faculties. Donald Wuerl still has faculties. It took the courage. And they knew full well what an abuser McCarrick was, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the great Archbishop Vigano finally stepped up to the plate and said, I'm going to face Jesus one day soon. And I better, he's going to ask me why I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't until then that they took away McCarrick's faculties, right? A child molester and somebody who covered up all that he did, and all the ones that were under him that did the same. They don't take away their faculties, but they're coming after me. Do you see what a joke it is?
Of course.
But this is what they've done to all these other priests. And you know what? We're gathering together.
Organized.
All for one for all, and we're done, and the faithful are done with it too. And they, you know, all I can do is thank God for every stupid mistake they make, because we're coming for them.
And Father, we need to actually organize also all the priests. Like in my backyard, there's a priest here, Holy Name of Mary in San Dimas. He says publicly on the internet, I'm an active homosexual. He's the pastor. Uh-huh. He brings in all
active.
The homosexuals.
Yeah,
active homosexual. And he's proud of it. And guess what? Nothing is done to that man. So here's my point. Yeah. We organize. It's just us talking and the other people listening. Come on, everybody. Jump on board. Let's document all these crazies and put it down on paper and say, look, all these are running around proclaiming error and nothing is happening to them. Now you want to know why we're not going to give a penny to the parish? Stop it.
Exactly. My father, it looks like my battery's dying. I'm trying to fix it. If you're wondering what in the world I'm
That's all right.
Okay. I had it all charged up. I don't know why it's not working, but anyway.
Because we're talking.
The devil doesn't have a conversation.
Exactly.
I saw a meme on the internet where it shows you in your priestly vestments and you're in a position of prayer with your hands together, and right next to you, it's got Father James Martin with his clerics on, and he's doing the satanic symbols with both of his hands. And they got you guys side by side on a meme. And what it says is, you know, one person preaches the truth and he gets canceled. Another person promotes heresy and he's running around the world in behalf of the Vatican.
I know. It's absolutely unbelievable that what's going on. So I think it's working now, but hopefully.
All right, Father, you know, Michael Vorse is coming on the next segment when you're off.
Oh, is he really? Tell him I said hello.
No, if you want to stay with us, maybe the engineer can bring us all on together, because he's your friend. He's our friend for years. And we're going to talk about promoting the news that he does every Monday through Friday. But I'm glad to have you stay on board. If the engineer can keep it, why not, man? We're birds of the feather flocking together.
I think I'm actually supposed to talk to somebody else.
No problem. Well, we'll let you go in a couple minutes. Father, let me just say this. Jesse said action items, prayer, reparation, expiation. I really do believe that the prayer wars, we've got women in the church. I had to chase them out of church because I got to lock the church up today. And they're there praying, and they're praying for the church, and they have their rosaries, there's no Venus, and they're very devotional. And I thought, man, these are the women that are going to save the church. These girls are on it. Let me ask you this. What suggestion would you have for us laity to help the church right now? What suggestions do you have to help the church?
Well, I think that only about 8-10% of people actually would do anything.
Yeah.
But certainly write to the nuncio and tell in that same thing. It's very simple. You have to have a simple slogan that everybody says and they get, which is not one more penny in big red letters. That's one thing. I mean, we can pray till the cows come home. We've been praying for an end to abortion for 48 years, and it isn't happening.
That's right.
We have marches of 500,000 more every year, and nothing's happening because we're still voting for Democrats. We still have useless shepherds, godforsaken, diabolical brood of vipers in the episcopacy that aren't coming out and saying what they need to say. Instead, what they're getting is 25-30% of them are signing this letter to say, don't talk about, let's not talk about, let's discuss some more about whether or not politicians should receive the Blessed Sacrament. You know, so until that changes, nothing. Yeah. So you've got to get on their case and say to the nuncio, get rid of these losers. The problem is that this whole swamp is as deep as Rome itself.
Yeah, it is.
And so I guess what I'd say is, here's what you need to do. You need to find a few holy priests who celebrate Mass Ad Orientem, who use Latin as they're supposed to as Vatican II told them to during the Mass parts.
Yep.
Find those priests and support them. Give them 100%, but do it like in forms of a restricted donations, because otherwise the diocese taxes it.
Yep. Well said.
And so by doing that taxation, which they do, I've got some things to uncover about that taxation right here in the diocese.
Father.
So
I also said that those who made commitments to parishes that aren't proclaiming the Catholic Church, you know, like commitments for like pledges, I say those pledges are based on one thing, that they proclaim the Catholic Church teachings. If they're not doing that, I tell them to cancel the pledge. Am I onto something, or do you agree or disagree with that?
No, 100% agree. 100% agree. We got to quit supporting them. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in Michigan, right?
Yeah.
And the Detroit Lions were there. And every single year they had a losing season. And every single year they had season ticket holders. And if they would have just canceled their season tickets, and they wouldn't have been financially supporting them.
Yeah.
And they would have done a little bit more to have a winning team.
Yeah.
What are we doing so that we have a winning Catholic team? Are we continuing to support the losers? Yeah, unfortunately. But how many people really care enough? I think this closing the churches was an eye-opening event where we finally recognized in bright living colors who the bad guys were because they locked the churches, and who the good white guys were who went bent over backwards to try and make sure that their people were fed. As you've heard me say, and I can't say it any better than this, what kind of father would not feed his children? And anybody who would lock the church and deny feeding his children, anybody that, what kind of father would not anoint his dying child?
Yeah.
What kind of father? So any father that didn't go somewhere else, I don't care if you have to drive an hour. I used to drive an hour when I was like in college, and I would drive an hour to go to church where I was being fed.
Of course.
So find those priests and support them only.
Yeah.
Because they'll, you know, otherwise, you know, the church is going to get smaller. Pope Benedict said so. We knew this. I mean, we knew this since our Blessed Mother in Fatima.
Yeah.
So we can't worry about that. And again, I'm not speaking division because I say it. They've already caused the division. The division is real. It is de facto. It exists. And so we have to support those who are still truly Catholic. And they're few versus many.
Well said.
I like Father's one of the things that he mentioned about, and I've heard other good Catholics say the same thing, that you should get involved with your parish and tell the pastor, hey, give me the water bill. Give me the electrical bill. We'll divide this bill amongst people and just pay some of the expenses of the church directly, because again, once you put money in the basket on Sunday, a percentage of that goes downtown and it gets taxed, and there's nothing you can do about it. And so that's, I've heard that from a lot of people. That's probably the future of Orthodox Catholicism, is people saying, okay, Father, what bills do you got? We're going to divvy it up in between these families. We're going to divvy it up in between these families.
Yeah.
And that way the collection basket is empty. I mean, I don't see any other way to stop this.
Got it. Let me just jump in and say that listeners right now, share this video in order to help support Father Altman's message. Get this into as many people's hands as possible, because we have to enlist an army of soldiers in Christ to speak the truth in charity and continue to have the perennial teachings of the church. Father Altman, your last word before we go to Michael Voris. Your thoughts?
Sure. Okay, then this is it. On May 19th of a year ago, I gave a homily about true courage why it is that priests and seminarians don't speak up.
Yeah.
It's because they're persecuted, they're kicked out of seminary, or their faculties are taken away.
Right.
There actually are a lot more priests who would speak up, except they're afraid of happening to them what's happening to me. I'm unafraid. I couldn't care less. Bring it on, because the gloves are off.
Amen,
they've already started the war. They threw the first punch. I'm throwing the last one.
So, Father, give us a blessing. Give us your priestly blessing.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. And with your spirit.
And through the intercession of St. Tarsicius, through the intercession of Bishop St. John Fisher, through the intercession of St. Thomas More, may Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father James Altman, thank you. Michael Voris up next on Virgin Most Powerful.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm going to call this the Catholic Underground segment every Wednesday with Michael Voris. Michael, welcome to our show, brother.
Hey, guys, how are you? God bless.
We're too blessed to be stressed, brother. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be a billionaire. Even among the craziness and the church, we know the end of the story. But, Michael, we always want to hear from you on Wednesdays to give us a little feedback on what's happening with your shows on the news, Monday through Friday shows. What's going on for today?
Well, first of all, I can just take a quick second.
Absolutely,
off topic,
brother.
And just say, because a lot of people said, sorry, right, hey, what's going on? We have Church Militant crash. What's the deal? You guys being attacked and deplatformed and all that?
What?
No. The short answer is that we had so much traffic on the site that our servers, not ours internally, but the serving hosting company, actually fell over.
Wow.
And so we had to transfer everything to something.
Congratulations.
Much larger. So that's
a good problem.
I'm sure the USCCB will be delighted to hear that.
That's a good problem.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, so in case, I know people were concerned. You know, obviously, when you can't get to something, you're like, what's happened? And, you know, we have that same reaction here when we go to something else. So,
yeah,
you just want to make sure. But, yeah, all's good. Nothing like that happened.
Praise
it
God.
Was purely technical based on the amount of traffic we had on the site.
Good.
So we're back up on a relatively stable sort of temporary fix right now and all of that. So things are good.
Good.
Praise God.
Yeah, we're covering a huge number of stories tonight, actually, on Evening News. One of them is the sheer hypocrisy of the unelected Biden administration's announcement that the Cuban immigrants can't, you know, they're trying to get out of a communist country, can't come to America.
Right.
And, you know, the whole, the security chief is standing up there having this big, you know, bravado press conference. You will not, you shall not pass. We shall not allow it to happen. And it's like, what you guys should do from Cuba is get over to Mexico, go, and then you can just pour across the border at will. They'll put you up in hotels for free. They'll fly around the country. Everything will be great. You're just coming in on the wrong border. That's all. It's completely hypocritical on the part of the Biden administration. But again, they kill children. So,
well, Michael, let me jump in and just be real direct with you, because that's the only way I can be. Those folks who come to through Mexico, most likely the Democrats are going to become, those people will become Democrats. The people who come from Cuba, they're not going to become Democrats. They're going to become conservative. Am I onto something?
Yeah, you are. I mean, you look, there, many of those people coming over are, you know, the sort of the next generation of descendants of all those inhabitants of little Cuba,
yeah,
a little Havana right now in Miami.
Yes.
And large, enormous numbers of them. I mean, that population voted way in favor of Donald Trump in the post-election analysis. You know, I think it was in January or February, they released some of those numbers after they did whatever it is they do to analyze them all. But yeah, that's pure. That whole crowd is massive, conservative, pro-family, pro-everything. To that point, much like many of the people coming across the southern border of the U.S. are also, you know, Jesse and I have talked about this quite a few times, you know, it's very conservative, but the Democrats get to them and sort of just, you know, compartmentalize their pro-family, pro-Catholic, pro-all of that stuff and turn them into this, you know, sort of liberal voting bloc. But good luck with that. Those people are coming from poor nations who are coming across the border. The Cuban immigrants are coming from communism, and they know exactly what it's like. And the last thing the Biden administration needs is tens of thousands of more people flooding into the United States saying communism's horrible, it's sucky, it's evil, it's satanic.
Yeah, that's my point.
We clamp down on them, but we let the other ones come in. So it's pure, pure hypocrisy.
Mike, it's no surprise that President Trump, he's actually stated yesterday that I stand with the Cuban people. And if he was in office, he's calling on Joe Biden to stand up against communism. So Trump is calling him out. And I like the fact that President Trump is shadowing Joe Biden's pretty much every move now. That's a good thing, because he's highlighting to us. He's putting like a watchtower, you know, and he's spotlighting all the areas of weakness that he mentioned during the debates. But he's not letting people forget about what he said. And so I'm glad that he's kind of shadowing his presidency. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's perfect. And, you know, look, if there is a non-media person, meaning not paid by the media, if there is a non-media person in the United States who understands every last little intricate detail of the media, it is that man, Donald Trump. He knows exactly which buttons to push. He knows how to, you know, pursue something. I wish he'd have just done it a little bit more in the post-election swamp. But anyway, you know, he's a... it's a great strategy. Stay behind. Keep going on about Hunter. Keep going on about communism. Keep everything he's doing. Just keep going on about it. Talk about gas prices. You know, a lot of this stuff to, you know, to voters, it doesn't have to be this massive, massively convoluted, you know, this Homeland Security document from 1946. You have to go into all that. People look at gas prices and go, holy Moses, gas prices are 50% higher here in the first 6 months than they were. And the promise is by the time we get to Labor Day, they're going to be another 50 cents higher. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's going to be almost getting to the point of almost double the prices when Trump was here. Remember one of the things he kept saying at his rallies, you know, in the run up to the election, how do you like that $2 gas?
Yep.
Now he's getting close to being able to say, hey, here's your $4 gas. And in some parts of the country, that is true already.
Where we live, for sure, we're over $4. Michael, what else is going to happen for today at 5 o'clock East Coast time?
Well, you know, we have probably more than any other Catholic media outlet in the country. Church Militant has been all over the corruption, sex abuse and cover-up corruption in the Diocese of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They had to shut down the seminary there, Christ the King, because it was a hotbed for decades. It was one of the Colombian or South American gay pipeline destinations.
Mm-hmm.
One of the bishops there, one of the auxiliary bishops there who was implicated in all of the cover-up is now... implicated in actual sex abuse himself. So he has been, as Bishop Gross, he is, the guy's just a bad actor. He's just a bad actor. He covered this stuff up for years. We're going to have a full report on exactly what his case is now. It's not just abuse cover-up, it's actual abuse, which I guess you can't be too surprised about.
Nope.
Mike, here's something kind of funny. At the 2002 Dallas document that came out, Theodore McCarrick was he was in charge of it, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's funny that what comes out of that document, lay people are supposed to go to training, you know, a safe environment, virtues. We are. Wait a minute. Who was the one that was out there chasing these kids? It wasn't lay people. It was bishops and priests.
Clergy.
And we're supposed to go to training. Yeah. How do you, something's wrong with that. Something doesn't compute. But of course, that's Theodore McCarrick's fingerprints all over that document.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it's, and I think we have to say, you know, look, he's off the scene largely, at least officially, but, you know, some people tell us he's still pulling some strings and things behind the scenes. But regardless, he doesn't do that alone. No. You know, Hitler wasn't the one who was dumping Zyklon B into the tops of, you know, the gas chambers. He wasn't standing there with his machine gun. He wasn't, you know, shoving people onto the trains. You can't commit these kinds of evil atrocities without a whole network around you that either believes in it or is scared of you or whatever. You're somehow complicit, directly or indirectly, you're complicit in all of this. And McCarrick had all the help he could possibly need, and these guys profited off him and his abuse of seminarians and young boys. It's complete, you know, doctrinal destruction of the faith. Between him and Bernadine, they absolutely wiped out everything except a very small remnant of faithful Catholics in the United States in the last half of the 20th century. The church in America is virtually destroyed.
What else is going
on?
What else do you have on the news tonight, Mike?
We're going to go after the Democratic National Committee, which is pressuring phone companies now to monitor texts about COVID misinformation.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a communist state. And maybe we haven't gotten all the way to communist state, but these are all communist, socialist, tyrannical government tactics. You know, Facebook putting out things telling you to, you know, report your friends if you think they're extremists. Democratic National Committee telling, you know, Sprint and, you know, Verizon and everybody else, you know, hey, you get here and, you know, monitor people's phones to make sure they're doing, you know, then what are you supposed to do? Like cut off their service? Or, I mean, this is what you do in a tyrannical state. You know, everybody who has come over here has emigrated to the United States from a former communist nation, mostly Eastern Europe, has said, everything you're watching is exactly what we saw back in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s when we lived in it. I was in Romania for a week talking to various Catholics in Romania who had suffered under this tyrannical stuff, being thrown into jail. I was given a tour of one of the most horrific prisons ever that you could ever possibly imagine, where Catholic priests were thrown into this prison. And just horrible stuff. This is how it all begins. You find a section of the population you want to demonize, and then you go after them. And now, with all the technology, it's much easier to go after them than it was back in the day. Now you can just have, you know, people who agree with, you know, Biden's, you know, tyranny, just texting whoever, like, yep, yeah, Jesse Romero and Terry Barber, they're threats, they're domestic terrorists here, FBI, go check them out. Push. And all of a sudden, you got FBI people monitoring your this and that and everything else. I mean, this is downright evil.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if it's the end of the world. I don't know if it's the whole mark of the beast thing or not. But if it isn't, boy, it sure looks like something of what you'd expect it to be.
Hey, Mike, Joe Biden wants to turn the federal government into Jehovah's Witnesses by sending people two by two and knock at your door. And not to give you any type of good news, but to try to see if you've been jabbed. What do you think about that?
Well, I hope they don't have their face too close to the door, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you're saying. Michael, there's other news. We mentioned that French president said that at September 15th, all those who continue to refuse the experimental vaccination will no longer be able to work and will receive no pay. It just seems like all over the world this is taking place, not just in our country, a worldwide, they seem to be on the same page. It seems
sure.
Like this was well orchestrated. Am I onto something?
Oh, I absolutely think so. I mean, look, there's a global reset. That's absolutely right, Terry. It's when they're talking about the reset, they're talking about the global reset. I think the only reason we don't see it quite to that extreme here in the U.S., at least not yet, is because they know we have an armed citizenry.
You got that?
And they don't have enough of their stuff kind of quite together yet. And it's why they're constantly going on about drugs and, I'm sorry, guns and all that sort of thing. But I do want to say, if I can, gentlemen, I'm going to pop a little something on you.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow night's evening news,
please,
as soon as it's over, we have a top secret expose on Cardinal Timothy Dolan.
Awesome.
We've caught a horrible scandal on audio tape. And he is not going to be happy when we play this report right after evening news tomorrow night.
People can go to churchmilitant.com.org or .com and .com and get all the good information. Michael Voris, we appreciate you taking the time every Wednesday to share what's the information you have, because people need to be informed. We need to be praying hard on our knees for Holy Mother, the Church, and making reparation for these sins. Thanks again, Michael Voris, for coming to the Terry and Jesse Show.
God bless, guys. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And, yeah, this is our Catholic Underground section.
You got it.
Segment with Michael Voris. Keep the faith. God bless you.